Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and to our trends article. We are going to be talking about theme parks and why they're built and why theme parks decide to put in the kind of rides that they put into them. And I have two very knowledgeable guests with me in the studio today. My name is Linda, and we have another.
Yes, another Linda. Hi, everyone. I'm Linda C., and I'm very glad to be here.
And we're happy to have you. And we have...
And this is Josh. I'm the not Linda in the room.
Well, that's okay. We need a variety, right? Mm-hmm. Well, have you ever been to Disneyland or Disney World or Universal Studios?
Yes, I have. And a lot of these theme parks are in my home state of Florida. Florida, especially Orlando specifically, has many, many theme parks and amusement parks there. So it's really well known for that.
Okay.
The two biggest are Disney and Universal.
Yeah. The two kind of rivals, mm-hmm. so to speak. What about you, Josh?
Well, I am a big fan of roller coasters, and I love amusement parks. But unfortunately, I've not been to as many theme parks as I would like, although I have been to Disneyland in California. And then I did, when I went out to Florida, when I was really young, I did go to Universal Studios.
I've been to both Disneyland and Universal Studios in California, especially when my kids were younger and we would be going back to visit for the summer. We would stop in California. So I've been on a lot of rides in there because my husband actually doesn't like rides.
Oh.
So when your kids are like begging you to go, it's like, okay, I guess it's me. And it's interesting how rides change through the years based on movies and what's popular at that time. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that and why Disneyland and Disney World and Universal builds the kind of rides that they have, what makes them create their worlds. So we're going to begin our reading on page 36 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, and we invite you to turn there so you can follow along with us as we read it and discuss it. And if you have your digital device handy, you might want to turn to it so that you can also follow along with us.
Building creative theme parks. Will future amusement park rides be based on original ideas and not movies? Guardians of the Galaxy, Harry Potter, Fast and Furious, Frozen. Why can't theme parks come up with new attractions based on original ideas? Theme parks love the promotional boost they get from opening new rides and shows with a built-in fan base. Yet Universal has opened a new water theme park in Orlando, Florida. Based not on a movie, TV show, or toy line, but on its own original story. Universal's theme park designers have concocted a story about the made-up Waturi people of the South Pacific to bring life to its new Volcano Bay theme park at the Universal Orlando Resort. For years, Universal's theme park motto was Ride the Movies, and it's been nearly 20 years since the Universal theme parks developed a major attraction that wasn't based on a movie, television show, or at least a popular book. Universal Orlando's Islands of Adventure theme park originally included a lost continent land that drew from ancient and medieval-themed mythology. But in 2010, Universal converted almost all of that land into its first Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. We're looking at trends, which is building creative theme parks. And it was kind of interesting. I never really realized that a lot of theme parks build their rides and their world around movies. Did you know that?
Well, when I think about it now, I realize, yeah. They're most of them are based on movies or movie characters, you know, they use for rides and for like themes within the park.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense to me, although for me, I think the closer connection was with Disney and Disney movies, right? Mm-hmm. So that Disneyland, Disney World did a lot of theme parks based around kind of the movies that they produce, right? And I wasn't really, I mean, Universal Studios is obviously based around movie studio ideas. So I guess it makes sense mm-hmm. that they would also do the majority of the theme parks based around different movie ideas.
Well, I know the Universal, well, it's been many years since I've been to Universal Studios in California. I know they used to do Waterworld, but it was a show. It
sure.
wasn't like a mm-hmm. ride that you went on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they did do the ride, they did do a ride, the one that's meant to scare you to death. But some of those were built on it, but I never really thought about it. But it makes sense. Universal Studios, of course, it's based on movies. And I never really mm-hmm. thought about Disney either. But a lot of that also is product-based.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it goes kind of hand-in-hand, and it makes sense. So we're looking at how it's changing, actually. Some of these rides that they're talking about now didn't exist the last time that I was at, so you can tell how long ago that was, when I was at Universal Studios or Disneyland. So we're looking here now at Guardians of the Galaxy, Harry Potter, Fast and Furious, and Frozen. I think out of the four movies that they're talking about here, Frozen seems to be the one that would be most popular with children.
Right, yeah, because so many kids, like at a certain age, they're in love with Frozen and they can't get enough of it.
Right, and it's interesting to me how long that fascination with Elsa and Frozen has really lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that the question that they're asking is, why can't theme parks come up with new attractions based on original ideas? So do you think that the issue here is, if they did have original ideas, would they be as attractive to people, or children in particular, as opposed to a movie that they've seen?
Well, that would be a major factor, because if it's based on a popular movie, I mean, they're already fans of that movie, and so they'll be more willing to go to the theme park and to spend money on those rides and for a stay there, rather than going to something that they're not as familiar with. So it's more, I guess, of a guarantee, or there's more safety in going with, you know, an already popular movie.
I was thinking about this in conjunction with, what about just, you know, amusement parks in general? You know, like where I'm from in Minnesota, they have quite a famous, it's called Valley Fair. It's a big amusement park, and it attracts a lot of people, but it's not the same. You know, it's not theme based, obviously.
Right.
It has a
mm-hmm.
lot of different rides and things that you can do, but perhaps it's because of who can afford to go to them also.
Mm-hmm.
And the attraction is somewhat different, don't you think?
I do think, especially, so what you said, like in your family's experience, for example, you were okay with going on rides and your kids want to go on rides, but then your husband wasn't so interested, right? So the nice thing I think that brings a draw for theme parks is that because there's more going on than just the rides themselves, there are a lot of characters, there's decorations, it makes it more of an experience for everyone, even the people who don't want to necessarily go on the rides themselves.
Right. Like at Universal Studio, there's also a variety of shows based
sure.
on movies that you can attend.
Exactly.
Go to. So he didn't go on not every ride. It was the scary ones.
Right.
I wonder what that says.
Whatever that. And I understand, you know, not all rides are for all people. But I think what we were talking about here is that with the movies, if they know there's kind of like a broad base of interest, that will also attract more people who would go for more than just the rides themselves.
Right. And we see that theme parks love the promotional boost they get from opening new rides and shows with a built-in fan base. So that's just what we were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And what does it mean, the promotional boost here?
Well, when you boost something, you really give it an increase or an extra burst of maybe energy to get something started. And here, when you have this like promotional boost, when you open up a new theme park, you have something that you've put a lot of money into developing. And if you have a lot of people go right away and they have a great experience, they tell a lot of other people, then that sort of has that word of mouth marketing that goes for the long term of having a lot of people coming in purchasing tickets.
And I think that's going back to exactly what Linda said earlier about Frozen. You know, little kids love it and can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much promotion for kids to be aware that, oh, this theme park has a whole section, you know, based on Frozen.
Frozen, right. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't even need to know exactly what the rides were or the shows, just that they had it had Elsa or Anna or like any Frozen character, they will beg their parents to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the products, the paraphernalia that goes with it that they can buy.
All the merchandise.
Yeah,
so
all the merchandise.
When you have a theme park, you want to be able to sell more than the rides, to sell all of the other merchandise that goes with it.
Right. So it's a whole package, so to speak.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So we looked at that actually Universal in Orlando has opened something. They're trying something new. It's not based on a movie or a show or a toy line even, but it's its own original story. So it looks like that they're trying to develop maybe a new way of attracting people that's not something that's already established.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they use this word. Their theme park designers have concocted a story. If you concoct something, what do?
You create it.
Okay, so you make it up. Okay, so they created the story about this made-up people called who, Josh?
The Waturi people of the South Pacific.
Right, and so it looks like it says to bring life to its new Volcano Bay theme park at the Universal Orlando Resort. So did that exist when you were there, Linda?
No, it didn't. Actually, a lot of these rides that we mentioned here in the article, they weren't there the last time I went there, but it's been a while.
Yeah. So we see that they're changing. You know, this is a huge investment on the part of, to me, I mean, I would think on to develop these rides and these whole worlds that they're developing, we're talking big money here.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So you can see why they have to keep up with, you know, trends. And mm-hmm. that's what the article is entitled, Trends. So they have to keep up with what's popular and what kids want to go to, because kids are the major draw why families go there.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that they have this new people from the South Pacific that they're featuring. And what was their theme park motto? First of all, what's a motto?
Well, a motto is usually a short saying that kind of expresses a principle or idea or belief.
Okay, so for Universal, it was ride the movies.
Mm-hmm. Right, which makes sense because Universal makes movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I thought it was interesting. It's been a long time, right, since what's happened. It says that since Universal theme parks developed a major attraction that wasn't based on a movie. So this is really quite new for them.
Right. They're really kind of breaking out into territory that they haven't explored for a long period of time. So, and like you said, this is a major investment. When you're really developing a new theme park, that you're talking about everything from creating like large sets to costumes to people who get trained in order to create this sort of feel of reality to the world. Like, it's a big investment.
Mm-hmm. And to the Elsa burgers. I mean, can't you just see restaurants having a Frozen theme and serving Elsa burgers?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Or snowmen cones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they have that. Yeah.
Definitely. So we see that. So this is a huge, huge change for Universal Studios. And it goes on to say what here? Universal Orlando's Islands of Adventure theme park originally included a Lost Continent land. And where did that come from, Josh?
Well, the Lost Continent land kind of drew from an ancient and medieval themed mythology. So it sounds like it wasn't really connected to any specific movie, but had sort of this sort of like fantasy or mythological theme going with it.
Okay. So, but what did they do with this? In 2010, they did what?
They converted almost all of that land that they use for the Islands of Adventure into its first Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
And there's a very interesting story about Harry Potter, right? I mean, we know that's hugely, hugely popular.
Right. So we know that Harry Potter is loved by many people, young and old, and it has a very fantastic design aesthetic to it. Like if you look at the movies, they have done a really good job at recreating the world, right? So when Warner Brothers, who owns the rights for the films, was looking at developing or selling those rights to a theme park, both Disney and Universal Studios were in contention for seeing who would be able to get the rights for the world for Harry Potter. And eventually Disney withdrew from the bid. And I think a lot of people thought the reason why is because the creator of the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, who's been very involved in the success of the movies as well, also wanted to have a lot of creative control over the way that the theme park was developed, and that didn't work very well with Disney. Mm-hmm. So Disney decided that they were going to not go forward with negotiations, where Universal Studios went ahead and decided that was a good idea for them and that they could work with her desire for having creative control.
That's pretty interesting, because Warner and Universal actually are highly competitive in the movie industry. Mm-hmm. So for them, I mean, I know that this is on a different, whole different level.
Right.
You know, it's not in movies per se, but still for that kind of cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have been fairly successful on top of it all.
Well, I have to admit, if the Harry Potter world is done really well, I would love to go and see, just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. It does bring out those kind of, you know, our imagination.
Yeah, well, it's mm-hmm. based on magic.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It'd be quite magical.
Okay, so we see that they had their first Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal in Orlando, and now they're also branching out into a different, you know, in a different kind of way with developing their own kind of mythological people group from the South Pacific. So let's look at the development of this. We're going to read the last section on page 36 in the right-hand column.
The backstory. According to Universal's backstory for the park, the Watori traveled via outrigger canoes across the South Pacific, from Rapa Nui, Easter Island, to Bali, before discovering the island of Volcano Bay, where they finally settled, creating a home in the style of the places they'd visited. It's a cute story, but one that easily can be ignored by anyone who just wants to get on the water slides or lounge by the many pools. Yet Universal is hoping that the extra attention to story and decor will attract theme park fans that might otherwise opt for Disney's also well-decorated and themed Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon water parks.
So here we have what's called the backstory. What is a backstory?
So that, those are the details or the things that happen before we see the film or read the story or are presented with the story or theme park. So it's all the stuff that happened before, to give you an explanation.
Okay, so it's kind of like the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
when you're writing a book or a script or a movie, in the backstory, you know, if you pay a lot of attention to the detail of the backstory, it really brings out the sense of reality of the current story that you're watching. So a lot of times, good writers will spend a lot of time really developing a backstory, not just for the world that the movie or the film or the book mm-hmm. takes place in, but also for the individual characters. So they really seem like they're not just sometimes what we'll call two-dimensional, so kind
right.
of flat. Right?
Right.
I really prefer reading, if I'm reading a book, a novel in particular, I really like authors that develop a backstory to the characters. It gives them a lot of depth.
Exactly. Yeah, I really like stories like movies or TV shows that have really good backstories to characters. That's why I was really attracted to the series Lost.
Sure.
Because you meet all these characters that are lost on this island, but then each one has their own backstory. And I find that so fascinating. That's really drew me into that TV series.
And it shows you why they behave the way they did, mm-hmm. you know, because
exactly.
they're bringing their history with mm-hmm. them or their backstory with them. So here we're looking at the backstory of Universal and how they developed actually this people group. And what does it say about it here, Josh?
Well, it says that Watui traveled via outrigger canoes across the South Pacific from Easter Island to Bali before discovering the island of Volcano Bay.
Okay, and here we have the word outrigger canoe. It's one of our specialized terms. And it just means it's a small seagoing boat with stabilizers to stop it from turning over. And so it's like a canoe-shaped boat, right?
Yeah, so it's a... So this is sort of the style of the Polynesian, mm-hmm. Austronesian seafaring people. So it could be like a Polynesian, Malay people, Indonesian. There's a long history of people using this type of craft. The interesting thing about the outriggers is that so it's a canoe shape, and they tend to be very thin
right.
and have a very, very small profile. So it means they can be fairly fast. For both sailing and for paddling, but then they have a long, stretched out boom and then another float on the other side that gives it a lot of stability. So it works pretty well in rough seas as well. And there's a pretty astounding history to these type of boats being able to travel long distances even with very little technology.
Well, you know, when I was reading about the backstory, I guess we'll call it, of the Waturi people, it reminded me of a classic. I don't know if it's considered a classic or not, but Kon-Tiki.
I would call it a classic book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's basically that story, it sounds like. I mean, it's a people that traveled across the South Pacific, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So and I think that they were using this type of a boat.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
So we see these, and I think if you go to the South Pacific, you can still see these being used by fishermen, and mm-hmm. they go from island to island on mm-hmm. outriggers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And notice they left from Easter Island, and Easter Island is off of South America, right? Well, like 2,000 miles off of South America, but it belongs to Chile.
Mm-hmm.
So they left Easter Island, and then they went to Bali, and then they discovered Volcano Bay where they settled. And what did they do after they settled there?
Well, they created a home in the style of the places that they had visited. So they use maybe some of the style or architecture from Easter Island and Bali and other places that they saw along the way, included it in their homes.
Okay, so this, if you go to this theme park, this section of the theme park of Universal Studios, you should be able to like see what they're trying to portray with with their homes and with the kind of land that they've settled on. But they say it's a cute story, but it might be ignored by what kind of people.
Well, anyone who just wants to get on the water slides or lounge by the many pools.
So if you're lounging, what are you doing?
You're relaxing, usually in the position of reclining. So that's
right.
why we have lounge chairs, so mm-hmm. you can lounge. You can just lay back and sit by the pool. And we also have the term lounge around. Like mm-hmm. if you're not really doing anything, you're just lounging around the house and just being maybe lazy or just
right.
not doing much.
Not necessarily lying on the couch, but that certainly qualifies. If you're just lying on the couch, maybe playing video games, watching mm-hmm. movies, you're just kind of lounging around the
mm-hmm.
house.
Right. I think all of us like to do that.
Yeah. Every so often.
Every
yes.
so often is definitely
to
nice to just lounge around and relax.
Right. And here they're lounging by one of the many pools. And even though that it could be the case, Universal is hoping that the extra attention that they're giving to the story will do what, Linda?
Will attract more theme park fans.
Okay. So because their big competitor here is
Disney. Mm-hmm. And Disney has Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon, their water parks, which are very, very popular.
Okay, so we see a lot of competition here, don't we?
Exactly, and this is something that's very important for a lot of the theme parks, that they have attractions that many people are interested in, but also that they are able to kind of renew and renovate those attractions, so they're always staying up to date, offering unique things to people. because there's a lot of people who like to go to theme parks, but there's only so many, and you can only go to maybe one a year or one every few years. So there's a lot of competition between theme parks.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there are the people who go to theme parks more than once a year.
It's true.
My sister had a classmate she knew her during elementary school, but her family went to Disney. I mean, granted, it wasn't very far from Miami. It was about a three-hour drive.
Okay.
So they had, I guess, an annual pass.
Mm-hmm.
So they would go all the time. Yeah. So some kids, you know, are really lucky. They get to go to Disney or Universal or any of these theme parks. If they go more than once a year, that's really great. But usually families don't have that opportunity.
And also the thing about these kind of theme parks is they change with the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know that Disney in Orlando mm-hmm. has a big Christmas kind of theme mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they decorate for the season so you get a different flavor. Well, we hope you will come back and join us tomorrow for our second day as we're going to take a look at what else is going on in the world of theme parks. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.